When Margu and the others landed at Dark Harbor, their worst guesses were confirmed by the Major who stood on the quay, cold wind whipping his uniform around his legs.
They've got the orbital station. We bounced your call up, but it was already happening. Bonar Tighe picked up convicts from Stack 3 with its LHCs and armed them. Used them as shock troops. We think, we hope, that somebody on the station got a tight beam out and tripped an Ansible alarm, but we aren't sure. The mutineers have cut off all communications from topside, and they can control the system defenses from there too. We know of 6 ships in system. Anyone care to lay odds on how many of them are mutineers?
No one did.
So what can we do?
Damn little. Polacek over at Maine has declared a state of emergency, of course, but there aren't any jump-capable ships on planet, not even little ones. We don't have any missiles capable of taking out the station or any other ships in space. Why would we? We're stuck down a gravity well. I hate planets!
You think they'll try to invade?
I don't know. They're not telling us anything. Let's get all of you undercover and see what else you might know. Does that corporal you rescued need a medical assist?
No, sir. I can walk.
Corporal Meharry still looked pale to Margu, but he was reasonably steady on his feet.
Good. Chief, get this craft secured. I've arranged transport for the corpse. We'll need statements from all of you. Where's the Major?
Still pretty groggy, I imagine. I'm afraid I may have administered a stronger anti-nausea patch than necessary. I'd like to talk to your base commander, if I might.
Margu looked at him. He had been calm and even cheerful until he'd thought of the mutiny. But now his face had stiffened into a grim mask. He caught her eye and managed a smile, but with none of his earlier warmth. The little base headquarters seethed with tension and activity both. The Major, who had met them, ushered them to the base commander's office. Lieutenant Commander Ardsan glowered at them for a long moment.
It's not your fault, but I wish you'd have figured it out an hour earlier. Even an hour might have given those people a chance.
Nonsense, sir. An hour before, we were dealing with a corpse, a survivor, an oncoming squall. And I doubt very much that hour would have done more than prolong the carnage. The mutineers will have accomplices on that station, as they had on Stack 3.
You're probably right. But it's so frustrating. We don't have landlines everywhere, and with the mutineers in control topside, we can't get anything through the relay satellites. We have short-range ground radio, but they can interdict that from topside if they choose. They've cut off the weather information too, which is going to make it hard to fly from one base to another. Polacek wants everyone to gather at Maine, but the way I look at it, that just makes us a handy target.
Are we sure of his loyalty?
I'm not sure of anyone right now. I never thought anything like this would happen, but then the whole Xavier mess shocked me. I don't understand it.
I think the point is how to handle it now. I have a very specific problem in mind. I'm a weapons specialist. I was on my way to Stack 2 to consult on the progress of some of their research. You'll want to check my clearance, of course.
The professor handed Ardsan a flake.
Of course.
Ardsan swung around and slid the flake into a slot in the cube reader. Margu caught a glimpse of the screen before Ardsan flicked it off.
Well, that's clear enough. I don't think I ever saw anyone with that level clearance before.
No, probably not, but we put on our pants one leg at a time, the same as you. Now, I happen to know that there are weapons under development there which you do not want the mutineers to have. And the fact of the matter is, if someone on that base is not part of this, I'll be very surprised.
Why do you say that?
Why else would they start a mutiny here in this system? Why not meet in some quiet, out-of-the-way location, safe from discovery? I would wager that if Commander Bakarian had not been killed, if all had gone according to plan, one of those LACs would have picked up personnel and weapons from Stack 2. I suggest you check the records of the personnel stationed there very carefully.
We don't really have the facilities for that, Professor. I can look up who's in command, but that's about all. I'm not even sure I can get a list of personnel. With the mutineers in control of our communications, we can't access the personnel records back at Maine. And we don't keep copies here at Dark Harbor.
I see.
The Professor drummed his fingers on his knee for a long moment.
Well, Commander, if I were you, I'd figure out a way to send some troops out there to secure the base.
But how?
Well, we flew out there before. Can't we do it again?
But we have no weather data. They've cut off our feed from the weather sats.
Commander, I'm telling you, if you don't secure that base and keep the mutiny from getting hold of those weapons you wish you had to the end of your life, which will probably not be a long one. Now, Several things can happen. We can try to go back and not make it and crash into the sea. We can try to go back and, if enough of the personnel are involved, they might shoot us out of the sky if they happen to notice us. We can get there and fail to secure the base, although I believe if you send along enough troops, that won't happen. We can get there and secure the base, and the mutineers' topside can land a force and drive us off. But if we have enough time, we'll have destroyed at least the worst of the weapons. Or we can sit here and do nothing and be dead with no chance of helping out. Now, I personally think that is the worst option.
I should contact Commander Polacek.
No, Commander, you should not. You've already said that you aren't sure of his loyalty. And you know communications are compromised. And you know what my authority is.
Margue surprised herself by speaking up.
He's right. If we're going back out there, we have to do it before they send shuttles down.
Ardsan looked from one to the other, frowning.
All right, let me think. We need transport that can land at Stack 2 and carry troops. Chief, look up what we have on the personnel at Stack 2, and give me an estimate of our security forces here.
Are there any heavy cargo craft based here?
We have the heavy-duty air cars we use along the coast, but we don't like to take them out over the open ocean. They sink like rocks if the power plant fails. That's why we use the amphibs.
How long would it be before the mutineers could send shuttles down?
Depends on whether the station had any short-field shuttles ready to go. The LACs from Bonar Tide can do it, of course, but they'll require refueling and service. At least a couple of hours of turnaround. Those other ships? I don't know which had LACs and if those LACs were ready to drop. If they launched additional LACs immediately after taking the station, the mutineers could be on that island now. Or if they're delayed, it could be tomorrow or the next day.
Mm-hmm. And the flight times of your available craft?
It depends on the wind speed and direction. And we have no weather stats now. 5 hours, six, I can't say exactly.
One of the enlisted men poked his head in the door.
Sir, Stack 2 has 13 civilian scientist personnel, 5 officers, and 29 enlisted. Commander's a Lieutenant Commander Vinette. We've got 15 NEM assault troops and 30 ordinaries, plus the base police.
Thank you. Carry on. Enough to tempt us into trouble and not enough to get us out. And if I strip Dark Harbor, there's no one to protect the people here. All right. It's something definite, at least. Professor, I assume you're going?
Absolutely. You need me to disable those weapons, and the scientists and engineers know me.
Ensign, I'm assigning you to the professor, since he seems to have confided in you before. You are weapons qualified, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. I'll have the arms master issue you weapons. I want you to stick to the professor like glue and watch his back, just in case any of the people we send along aren't as loyal as we think they are.
Yes, sir.
Professor, it'll take some time to refuel the aircraft. Brief the air crew and assemble the troops. You'd better eat and rest while you can. Ensign, you too. But you stick with him, you hear?
Yes, sir.
Margue realized suddenly that she was very hungry and also tired, and that she would have to go back out over that cold, wet, vast ocean in the dark. Margue and the professor ate in the mess hall with the plane's crew.
It's that damn rejuvenation stuff. Promotion started slowing down 10 or 15 years ago, right about when they were doing these senior NCO rejuves. You don't spend all that money on rejuvenating someone and then retire them, now do you? And the people who might expect to step into that job realize they won't have a chance.
But mutiny, Chief? Can you see mutiny?
Not right away, no. But there's been a rumor that something was wrong with the NCO rejuvenations. And some people said they were bollocksed on purpose. It was one thing to have too many young, old admirals, but they didn't want the enlisted getting ideas.
Now that makes no sense. Senior enlisted are the backbone of every successful military organization and always have been. So I don't think they deliberately sabotage a rejuvenation program for chiefs.
Somebody sure did. Remember Chief Wang last year? We had to watch him every second, or he'd put a 6-star fastener in a 4-point hole and tell everybody to do the same. I never saw anything like it. I asked Pauly in sickbay, and he said he thought it probably had been a bad rejuve.
Well, bad rejuves would let the people below move up. But, to intentionally do something like that to someone. Yeah, I saw Chief Wang right at the end.
Yeah, maybe they didn't know what it would do. I remember giving my mom's pet Sari a cookie once, just sharing, you know. And it went into convulsions and died. I had no idea they couldn't eat our kind of food. But it was just as dead as if I'd poisoned it on purpose.
That's true. Never attribute to malice what could be stupidity. It's just as likely to be a cost containment effort by procurement or even the manufacturer.
Margu had not even realized that some fleet personnel had been rejuvenated. She couldn't remember anyone mentioning it in the academy. She wondered if any of the people in that room had been rejuved.
How would I tell?
When the professor finished eating, he touched her sleeve.
Ensign, we'd better get some rest while we can. Do you remember where Commander Odson said we could bunk?
Margu showed him to the assigned room, clearly an officer's quarters, now theirs for a few hours. They took turns in the shower and changed into clean clothes. But before either of them dozed off, the commander told them that transport was ready. This time, the professor donned his PPU over street clothes and then put his yellow leather jacket on top.
My friends out there will recognize this.
The major who had met them at the quay was in charge of the mission. Margu now knew his name, Anthony Garson. A Lieutenant Lightfoot commanded the troops.
You're a fine target that way.
True, but if we have to make a hostile landing, at least our side will know who I am.
Margu, who had on a clean PPU set to midnight blue, the default night camouflage color, caught the Major's eye. He shrugged and went to check on the rest of the group. Though it was only afternoon, the heavy cloud cover and spitting rain made it seem much later.
The Serrano Legacy, Change of Command, is continued on the next CD.